you in them streets.
We coming for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you.
From the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Christ to save your
life. Luke 2, 1 through 15. And it reads, and it came to be in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus for all the world to be registered. This took place as a first registration while Quirinius was governing Syria. And all were going to be registered, each one to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Yehuda, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of David, to be registered with Miriam, who was engaged to him, being pregnant. And it came to be that while they were there, the days were filled for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her son, to her firstborn son, and wrapped him up and laid him down at a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in a lodging place. And in the same country, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And look, a messenger of the Most High stood before them, and the esteem of the Most High shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the messenger said to them, do not be afraid, for look, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people, because there was born to you today in the city of David a rescuer, who is the Messiah, the Master. And this is the sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped up, lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there was with the messenger a crowd of the heavenly host, praising the Most High and saying, esteemed to the Most High and the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.
And welcome to Hope Radio here on 98.7 Joy. We are excited today. We're going to continue our conversation about whether Christians should celebrate the holidays. We're specifically talking about Christmas.
Yeah.
When we last talked, we talked about the day.
Yeah.
We talked about where it came from and some of the nuances if you choose not to celebrate on those particular days. Today, we're going to talk about some of the details, Santa Claus. We're going to talk about the Christmas tree and lights and all that stuff and get into some of those aspects that have found their way into this celebration. But in recap, you know, if you want to see the other sessions in full, you can go to our website, www.thecaptiveproject.com. In our last session, we talked about Black Friday.
Right.
We talked about the day and how we know historically the day is not December 25th. It actually came about when Rome accepted Christianity into the empire, and the desire to celebrate the birth of Christ. And so December 25th, a lot of celebrations in the Roman Empire was going on during that time. And so they put this there. What we found interesting historically is how December 25th became dominated by the celebration of the birth of Christ.
Right.
Even though there were other pagan celebrations going on. And we pointed out how if you look at 365 days a year, 366 if it's a leap year.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a birthday, May 12th, for example, what chances are the chances are,
right,
of you finding some demigod being worshipped if you look back over 5,000 plus years of history?
Mm.
Well, that's not going to prevent me from celebrating my birthday because right, that right. day means something more to me.
Absolutely.
And so historically, we've pinpointed Christ's birthday around April, May, based on the shepherds being in the field.
In the fields.
So I find it interesting. We talked about how that day is significant because you ask anybody in the world,
in
December 25th,
right,
they're going to associate it with Christ's birthday. And what was interesting, what was brought out last week when we talked about September 11th,
mm-hmm,
and how horrible a time in history that was.
Right.
But for Zach,
right,
he said that September 11th was the day he found the Lord.
Right.
And so where you have people that will mourn on that day, of course, and rightly so.
Right.
It's different for him. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Christmas in that vein, remember, Christmas is the ultimate show of the power of the unity of the body of Christ,
mm-hmm,
behind the love message of the birth of Christ,
right,
and how it has impacted the entire world.
Right.
You know, and so as we move in, we introduce our usual suspects with a new person. Frank, why don't you do the intros this time around?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say what's up. Good evening. As we start again, we have a new guest with us today, Mr. Dante Pero. Say what's up, brother.
Hey, what's going on, world? How y'all doing out there?
That's it.
Yeah, Vente is a brother who came to the Lord, what, in 2002?
Yes, sir.
And right, and the Lord just really started moving in his life and working in his life, and he's excited about doing the work that the Lord Jesus gave us to do.
That's it. And, that's it. That's good.
In our post-production meeting, he gave us an awesome testimony, and one day we'll be able to share that in context. And then, of course, we have
Big Eric, the brother
from another mother. Oh, and then, of course,
the man,
the legend,
the myth,
the legend upon legends,
Macedonia.
The legend that only Semirise
knows. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
As our executive producer. And I am your facilitator host, Richard Brown.
That's it.
The managing director of the Captive Project.
That's who it.
Is the host of this radio program. So let's get into it, okay?
Amen.
First question out there.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about the Christmas tree, because I know people want to talk right. about Santa Claus, but we're going to talk about the Christmas tree and the lights and
right,
stuff
right.
like that. What, when you guys talk to people about Christmas, and as missionaries and Bible students of the Word of God, what do y'all hear about the Christmas tree as it relates to Christmas?
Go ahead.
Check this out.
Because he has something interesting.
Yeah.
Because I
yeah.
know we had this conversation, man. Okay. Vente.
Yeah.
So he's going to bring that in and we can interject.
All right.
Let's go to Jeremiah 10 and we're going to see what the scriptures had to say about the Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
It says, hear the word which the Most High speaks to you, O house of Israel. This said the Most High, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be awed by the signs of the heavens, for the nations are awed by them. For the laws of these people are worthless. For one cuts a tree from the forest, work for the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They beautify it with silver and gold. They strengthen it with nails and hammers, so that it does not topple. They are like a rounded post, and they do not speak. They have to be carried because they do not walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they do no evil, nor is it in them to do any good.
Okay. And he brings that to say because many have used this argument that that's the where the concept of the Christmas tree come from. And I think it's important to always look at it in the context in which Jeremiah the prophet is writing.
Now, and, no, hold on, because you're about to give an answer away. So hold on.
Go ahead.
Back up. So you have people that look at that scripture and say, see, we don't stop praying our Christmas trees and stuff like that. And so when you read Evente, what is your are you saying that we shouldn't have Christmas trees because the scripture says we're not supposed to have Christmas trees?
What I'm saying is, you know, this is what Jeremiah says as far as that time is concerned when that was happening. So I'm not necessarily against celebrating Christmas or having a Christmas tree. I just personally don't celebrate Christmas based on what I know, because every day is Christmas for me.
Amen.
See, I don't have a set day to serve and praise and give glory and honor to the Most High, the one I serve. I give him glory and honor every day. So that only applies to me. But if another believer decides to celebrate Christmas and have their tree, I'm not going to bash that believer.
Right. And that's I like the way you articulated that, because a lot of what happens in our lives, let alone during the holiday season, is personal convictions. It's like, well, I don't because dot, dot, dot. The thing that we always have to be careful is not taking our conviction and laying it out there. Because when you read that scripture, if I take it out of its context, I can condemn anybody that has a Christmas tree. I can condemn anybody that has a Christmas tree.
Absolutely.
The question is, in context, what is that scripture actually talking about? Because let's be honest, Jeremiah wasn't thinking about no Christmas tree.
Right, right.
Now, can we apply some of the principles there? Absolutely, and I think we are. But in context, Frank,
in context, you know, we're looking at what the spiritual climate was when the prophet Jeremiah was addressing these issues. And the spiritual climate was Israel partaking of worshiping pagan belief systems or deities and mixing it with the worship of the one true God of Israel, right? Yahweh. And so he's addressing that.
When you say mix, you mean they were saying equal to.
Equal to, God, right. But we know that the God of the scriptures, he's been saying from day one that there's only one true God, right? And he is Yahweh, right? And so he's telling them these pagan belief systems where they're taking metals and worship them, the teraphims, which is the household gods, and the wood. And he's saying these are things that they are choosing to worship, but these aren't gods because they neither speak nor hear nor do anything which a living God would do.
Amen.
Right. And
Amen.
So he's correcting them. And so when we think about applying those scriptures to the Christmas tree, we got to be careful because they were worshiping a false deity. When we set up a Christmas tree in our living room, we're not worshiping
a false,
Amen. A false
Amen.
Deity.
Amen. Amen. And I love the way you did that, because if you look in the book of Acts, I think when Paul's went to Mars Hill,
mm-hmm.
remember when he went to Athens, I think it was, and they had all these gods set up,
and
they had an altar to the unknown God, and he said, I'm going to preach to you about that God.
Right.
But then Amen. He uses an example
where
he says, you know, you sit up here and you cut out of this idol a piece of wood and you take this idol and you say it's sacred, it's a god.
Right.
But what about the shavings that came off of that idol that you made? Aren't those shavings holy too? If that God is holy, aren't ashamed, but you take that and throw it in the fire. And he used that as an example of how that deity, like you just said, is nothing.
Yes.
And so when we look at the Christmas tree in from the spiritual angle, we know, like Frank said, we're not worshiping a deity at all. And so we move into where did it come from in modern day? And there's a lot of speculation, and anybody can do a Google search and see the different components. Yeah. But for the most part, the Christmas tree came from different celebrations that took place where some cultures, like in Germany, would decorate a tree for a birthday celebration or something like that. You've had people associate the tree to the tree of life because that's why it's an evergreen tree and things like that. And the Bible that we use for discipleship is called the Apologetics Bible. There is a great note in it. Go ahead, Frank.
And it says, what we love about utilizing this Apologetics Study Bible for students is that they take scripture that most will look at and actually get an understanding, which is actually twisted scripture, and they have these different articles throughout the Bible, and this is the one for that particular
right. And topic. Just for clarification, because right. Frank is excited right now.
Yeah,
in the Bible, there are scriptures that people try to twist,
right,
and try to use and formulate religions. Well, this Apologetics Bible notes in those passages where people try to manipulate and twist the word of God. And that's what Frank's going to look at now.
And so in this particular article, based on twisted scripture, it says that are Christmas trees pagan? That's the question it's asking. These verses have sometimes been used to say it's wrong to have a decorated tree at Christmas time. After all, the cut tree described in this passage is decorated with silver and gold in the same way that tinsel and gold stars decorate many Christmas trees each holiday season. As always, we must examine the immediate context of this passage in order to fully understand its meaning and implications. When we consider the context, it is obvious that pagan idols rather than Christmas trees are referenced in this passage. Indeed, it says that the idols cannot speak or do any good. These eight ads that these worthless idols are stupid and foolish, yet verse 10 says that Yahweh is the true God. While we can make anything into an idol, perhaps even Christmas trees, it should also be pointed out that Jeremiah would not have known anything about Christmas trees since they did not become a tradition until the 16th century in Europe.
Yep. And so the thing as far as the Christmas tree is concerned, you know, you have people, like you said, Vente, they have convictions.
Yeah.
And again, I love the fact that you say my conviction, I don't go there with them because they're celebrating. Now, if I'm at their house and I see them bowing down or whatever, it's like, okay, exit stage right after I give you a sermon about worshiping in an idol, you know.
Amen.
But it became part of the celebration, and people have tried to fit it. But the answer is that the Christmas tree has nothing to do with Christmas in and of itself. Mm. It's just something that got melded in that makes the holiday tradition, the decorating, the lights.
Right.
Because if when we do the class, I do a icebreaker. Well, I'd say if I'm going to give you an unlimited amount of cash to celebrate your birthday.
Right.
You could buy anything you want. You could do anything you want. Each and every time when they put their list together, it includes balloons, birthday cakes, cards, family. Some of them took everybody in their family to the Bahamas.
Right.
I mean, it's a celebration
right.
that they took on. And so it's a
I like
it's,
that.
It's this understanding that people celebrate in different ways, and the Christmas tree and the lights and the cards. And again, you can read historically, but Christ, birth of Christ has dominated all of that. It's all related somehow. People try to relate it because it's a celebration. It's like, how do you celebrate the birth of the King of Kings?
That's awesome.
You're going to try to do everything. If God said, here's an unlimited checkbook, celebrate my birthday, you're going to give gifts to kids. You're going to give presents. You're going to celebrate. You're going to take out TV commercials. You're going to try to do everything you can to celebrate the King of Kings.
Right.
And that's what we talked about last when people say, well, should we celebrate it? The Bible is full of celebrations on specific instances.
Yes,
the festivals. Right. They were celebrations about who and what God did for his people. The passage you just read, Vente, that's a celebration. All of heaven celebrated the birth of Christ. Glory to God in the highest.
Right, the heavenly host.
A star that, according to Chronicles, the historical Chronicles, could be seen brighter than the sun, just about as bright as the sun, in the daytime. And what was interesting about that star is that it didn't move. It didn't move.
Right.
It didn't set.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't move. It was at a fixed position, and that's how they knew they could follow it. Now, we got to roll into Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Okay, because we're running out of time. We
could
go all day.
I want to go so much more.
I know, right?
Let's roll to time.
Now, somebody said that the kid went to school, and they were talking about Santa Claus, and it's an elementary school.
Right.
And people take pictures and stuff like that. And the one parent said, well, I tell my kids ain't no Santa Claus.
Right.
Because ain't no white man going to be sitting up here doing. And I said, you know, I understand that perspective because you don't want a child believing now in something that's just not true. And I totally agree. But as a Christian, what if your child did something powerful in their generation and they were known for that in their generation? But over the years, as people remembered your child for what they did, they started changing it a little bit, but the essence of what they did was still there.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't your child at least be mentioned in truth based on the myth? And what I mean by that is the history of Santa Claus stems from a Christian called Nicholas, St. Nicholas. And there's different attributes and stuff like that. But where it came from was Nicholas was a defender of the faith of the Trinity. And it is said that he was rich. And during this time, Christ's birthday, when they celebrate, because we do have historical documents that they did celebrate Christ's birthday. That's why they call it Christmas. Christ's Mass.
Right.
That's what it was. It was a Mass for the birth of Christ.
Right.
And they would recite Luke 2, chapter 2. And so he would give away his fortune to orphans. And I said, what are you really battling against? Mm. A guy who shows the generosity to people and asks for nothing in return. Mm. And so instead of telling your kids arbitrarily, they know Santa Claus, educate them so when they tell another kid, well, that's not the real Santa. The real one name was Nicholas, and he used to do stuff for orphans. What type of powerful testimony would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we go into a lot of more details, and we're running out of time, guys. You know what? We're going to pick up on this
right
in our next session because the history of the history of Santa Claus is so powerful. Like when he was defending the faith,
right?
The guy that was against the Trinity and defending them in the council, he antagonized him so much that Nicholas actually punched him, knocked him out. Because he was like, what? You know, so I wonder if that's where we get Deck the Halls.
Well, could be.
Get it? Deck the Hall? Da-da-da. Anyway, so.
I guess it, that other person must have been called Halls.
Somebody, and I want to end this on a funny note. Somebody asked me, you know, well, how does Santa Claus get into all the houses at midnight? And I came up with an answer. Santa Claus is a mutant. And his mutant power. Oh, is it? Wow. Yeah, wow. And his mutant power is that at midnight, he at one time a year, he can multiply himself millions of times and take the right gift down the chimneys at the exact same time, but he has to sleep a whole year to get the power, and that's why the elves have to do all the toy making.
Only he could come up with something like that, man, and make it sound convincing.
So next time, we're going to talk about a little more detail about the history of Santa Claus.
That's it.
But then we're also going to talk about the world economic impact of Christmas. So thanks for joining us on Hope Radio 98.7.
Happy Holy Days.
Amen.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. You can also like us on Facebook at Captive Journey.
Or you can hit our website at www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or you can hit us through email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or hit us on the telephone, 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.